Actually talking earlier about the watching, we ended up running for the NPCs because the NPCs never showed up for it, and we've done all the setup and stuff. We're like, screw it, we're doing it. So Adam and Zach are just really running around the hall to
we did the Three Little Bears, and had
a tiny Alex on my head.
He was like,
maybe.
The hell?
What happened?
Love Spaceballs.
Why would I have to go?
Alright, everyone, welcome to Convention of Horror Stories. We're back. So, the preamble that I'm going to tell is, we're going to tell some pretty fucked up stories. If you've been to this panel before, you're going to hear some repeats, and the reason for that is because if all this happened to us in the course of a single year, we would go criminally insane. Now, we're going to be telling some awful stories, but please don't let this dissuade you from stabbing a cop. Stabbing a cop is Stopping a con, great way to contribute to the community. It's a great way to make a lot of friends. Yes, well, I can't speak for you, but I'm speaking for me. I made a lot of friends that way. So, that said, let's introduce our panelists. Panelists on the far left, tell them who you are.
My name is Mikhail. No, I'm sorry. My name is Andy. I'm the author of Circles. I'm the author of a comic strip you may see called The Pig Pen. I have the joy of being guest of honor for this con. I have been to many, many cons. I have run LARPs, which are pretty much cons. I run D&D games, and I will run the gamut of my stories, or whatever people want to hear about.
So. All right, Drac, tell them about yourself.
I'm Drac. I've also staffed many cons, including some of the failures you may have heard of in the past, like Rainforest for Sonic.
No!
I am also a LARP staffer, just like Andy, which in many ways are fur cons in and of themselves.
Oh, God. They really are, especially ours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the stories I'm hearing, yeah.
All right, next panelist, introduce yourself.
And I am Nightlines, or also known as Lines, and I am also blessed to be another guest of honor. And I am a freelance illustrator who's done furry just professionally for over a decade now. And I've worked for certain other cons as art director and doing art staff. And I've been working as a dealer at over 50 cons now, at least within that time. So definitely got some art-related stories. I got some personal-related stories. It's
horror stories. Panelist on the end.
I'm Hawk Chaplin. Chances are, if you went to a convention in New England, I've been the director of programming at it. I've been involved with conventions for about 17 years now, from ranging from Anime Boston to Kineticon to here to... I lost track of how many other conventions, to be perfectly honest with you. When it comes to programming, I pretty much have an influence on almost everything. So if you're enjoying the panels and everything else, you're welcome.
And my name is Giza White Mage, except when I'm a goat. I've been staffing conventions for 20 years. I was born this old. I'm going to be staffing them for another 20 years, so live through my suffering.
Let's talk about
the nuts and bolts of conventions and things that show up in Lost and Found. So who wants to go first? Like, weird shit we find in Lost and Found.
So, I don't go to Lost and Found very often, but I, as somebody who has a table, I get a lot of Lost and Found items. So, I mean, your usual stuff might be like somebody's card or somebody's badge, but I've definitely gotten some stuff, like people have left their Bad Dragon orders at my table. I have definitely got a lot of different types of garbage over from you mystery tissues to empty water bottles. So every, this is one con where it's phenomenal because nobody has trash. I'm just like, it's perfect. I don't have a mystery item. I don't have to be like,
it's what it's like behind the D&D games.
Well, most D&D games I run are with friends at my house. So the worst I can really say is that I really need to get my friends to curb their food. Because it's my house. And, like, I'll come in, like, everyone will leave. I'm like, oh, bye, it's been great to see you. And then I will come back and realize, oh, so-and-so left his trash. And my dog is checking it out right now. Because he left it on the floor. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. We've had some really funny shit left behind at LARPs. The most amazing thing I think we ever found and had to put in Lost and Found and put out a note saying, hey, did you leave your false teeth at our we've got a lower bridge that doesn't belong to anyone on staff. That was a weird one.
What's left behind at the dances?
Well, some interesting things, actually. About 4 years ago now, at one of the Anthro New England dances, we found a very interesting, intricate, and expensive-looking piercing on the dance floor at the end of the night. Come to find out, at the end of the con, when someone came to claim it, that they had lost their Prince Albert.
Was it just the piercing that was left behind?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Did you turn it to them in a can?
I didn't know that's what it was at the time.
Now you do.
Security was quite interested to find out.
We get lots of weird shit in AnthroCon's Lost and Found. We get the normal shit. We get con badges. Then we'll get things like claws that came off the fursuit.
Claws.
And this is a weird thing, not a scary thing, because the weird thing is we get things like weapon holsters around the weapons. That's the weird one. The scary stuff we get are things like car keys, passports, IDs, like things you need to get home.
We had five of those last night.
Passports?
Yeah.
No, no wallets.
IDs.
I had a friend whose ID got mixed up by the hotel. We went out to go to a restaurant. They pulled it out of the wall. And they're like, "This is a different person's ID."
Did your friend use it?
No comment.
It's like, so you're Abe Quinn in the Sausage King of Chicago.
Yes!
What about, like,
the programming? Yeah. What has been found in Lost and Found at, like, a panel or, it's never really so much of what's been found, it's more what has been forgotten. There's more power cords that have been gone missing over the past years that I would like to say are accurate, but at the same time, at least it's better now. Everyone has the same kind of power supply. Go back 4 years ago where everyone has a different power supply for like a laptop, and you need to find a VGA cable, and no one has that anymore. It just really kicks you in the can, especially when they're the guest of honor.
So we got Lost and Found. Do we want to talk about programming requests?
Oh. I mean, there's nothing that's truly over the top in terms of craziness, other than usually something that's just a small miscellaneous tech request. However, it's always the expectation game. There's always an expectation of, oh, you're going to have a projector. Oh, you're going to have a speaker. You're going to have X, Y, and Z, right? No. And they'll, like, get really upset and really mad. They're like, we're not going to do it. Well, why not? You're in front of a crowd. Why do you need to have three speakers really, really loud in front of you?
Does D&D ever have any, like, programming trauma like that?
Not really. I mean, we definitely have people with weird expectations. I remember when we started the Isles, the LARP that I helped kind of create and run, there was someone who brought in a character, and there was someone we knew from older LARPs, and I was always kind of like, when they were like, hey, I'm coming into your LARP, I was like, oh boy. Because they were someone who had a reputation of being difficult to work with. And their character was unbelievably contrary to everyone else in the game. And we kind of sat them down and said, look, like, I know you think that being annoying is really interesting somehow, but like no one wants to play with you, and there's a reason. And they were literally like, look, if I end up the crazy old hermit who lives in the woods alone and goes insane, I'm okay with that. And we're like, yeah, we're not. We're going to gently invite you to not come back. Sometimes you even get that from staff. We had a staff member we had to ask to leave Isles because they put this really unreasonable time limit on the players. The players were scrambling to meet it. They failed, and then the person was like, well, I guess they're cursed forever. And I was like, no. You just literally made them waste massive amounts of time and resources. Get in there as your NPC and tell them they're good, or tell them that you can make it up or something. And he kind of hopped and went, fine. And like went into game and literally was like, fine, it's done. You're good. And then turned around and like, all but like threw an imaginary scarf over their shoulder. I was like, I'm going. And like, I turned to the person who was in charge of the game at that time and like, so, we can have a talk about that? How we're never going to work with that person again? Because I'm calling for their ouster from staff? Because that's insane? So.
Hey, Lines, how about art requests?
Oh, I think you mentioned one at dinner that was really offensive and wonderful.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
I mean, that's up to you. I'm not going to call
you
out.
That's good. So I get a lot of weird requests sometimes, and some things it's just like, have you seen my art? Do you see what I do? Do you see who I am? I had one person come up to me, and this is what I was saying at dinner. It's definitely a little inappropriate, and I'm going to give a heads up. It has a teeny bit of transphobia, like just a tiny heads up. But I was sitting at my table, and I'm doing my art. And some guy's coming up to me, and he's like this old, like creeper-looking guy, and he's just doing like the lip-smacking thing. And I look up, and I'm like, hey, can I help you, buddy? And he's like, hey, I want to get a sketchbook commission. I'm like, okay, cool. And I got my form ready, and I was getting ready to hand it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what can I get for you? And he just lifts up this thing and he shows like this like toony, like nothing against cub art, obviously. It was just like one of those like super like puppy diaper things, and it was like a wolf wearing like Goldilocks, like Three Bears style dress. He's just like, this is like my wolf who's a boy, who thinks she's a girl. And like, I want like all this like crazy, like you name it. And this guy was just like, I want this. And I'm just like, I'm closed. just like that.
That's the appropriate response.
Right? I was just like, I just looked around because there's other people. I had customers with me, and they just looked at me, and I looked at them, and we're just like,
no.
Goodbye.
We had, in the early 2000s, someone wanted to do a skit about 9/11.
What?
Oh. I had a story. We were like, no. We're shredding your application, scattering the ashes. It's not horrible.
You weren't prepared to mine the comedy nuggets from that pile of
No, not really. No, it was best just forgotten.
Yeah. I went to a convention once, and this was around an anniversary. It was during the anniversary of 9/11, and this was a con around a state within. This con was, I would say, maybe 2 hours away from New York City. And on 9/11, this hotel thought it was a good idea to have cookies and muffins to celebrate 9/11 to give out to people. So that's just like, to commemorate 9/11, have a free muffin. We're just like,
who the fuck?
Wow.
Let's commemorate some terrorist attacks.
But more importantly, what was the flavor of the muffin?
Yeah. Tiny little blueberry ones, too.
Like the ones you get on an airline.
Yeah. Like Continental Hotel breakfast muffins, yeah. And I'm just like,
should be like Rocky Road or something.
Right, I'm like, come on.
Jesus.
So, what else do we talk about? You want to talk about like screwed up pool and hot tub stories?
Oh, I've got a good one for Rick first on that one.
Oh,
actually.
Oh, 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 that's like you said Rainburst, and that's like the wild card to top anything.
Oh yeah.
That hot tub story pretty much takes the cake.
So the one story I heard, this is from an anime con. I guess there's like some significance of ramen in the anime community.
Oh, I know what I'm convention.
There's some significance of ramen that, like, I guess I just don't understand. I guess I just don't watch enough anime, you know? But it culminated with multiple buckets of ramen being dumped into the hot tub. The hotel ended up having to use like a strainer, and they came out five-gallon buckets of noodles. That con wasn't just told, don't come back to the hotel. The principals of the con got blacklisted from all Starwood properties. That's how bad it was. So tell me about the Rainforest hot tub.
So, I don't remember the exact year. It might have been 2013 or 2014, because that con ended a while ago. But the Hilton that we were at in Seattle, right next to the airport, had a hot tub and a pool right in the courtyard in the middle of the hotel. The hotel circled the area. It was a pretty large space. There was a little garden around it and a fence that, you know, kept children out, so on and so forth. Saturday night, as the con's going strong, a couple of the staff members and I were walking past the entrance to where the pool would be going into the courtyard. And we see a pile of foam bubbles, probably about 10 to 12 feet tall, coming out of the hot tub, just engulfing the entire area of where the hot tub was. So we come to find out, someone poured an entire jug of Mr. Bubble bath into the hot tub, thinking that it was going to be a funny joke.
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny.
I mean, it does.
Right. Oh, yeah. Funny to the attendee, but terrible for us dealing with the hotel because it burned out the hot tub.
But we smelled
it. That was
probably the cleanest Rainforest.
It smelled
bad. I won't even start covering the diapers that were in the pool.
Yeah, the trouble is that any hot tub at any convention, furry or otherwise, turns into like horrible bullion really bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And there's always foam, and you're always like, that's somebody, and I just want nothing to do with that.
Maybe that's where all the con crush came from. Actually, you know what? Screw it. That's where COVID came from. It came from a hot tub.
It came from the hot tub.
But it starts out as a hot tub, and then it becomes a hot tub. Right.
So.
When it starts out as a hot tub and then it becomes furry chowder at the end of the hot tub.
Right.
I've definitely seen a few hotels like that. You're just like, that's not clear water anymore. I'm out.
Right, let's talk about food. So.
Oh, you just reminded me of my worst con story, too, which is wonderful.
All right, who here has been to the Midwest Fur Fest Hotel?
Which one?
The current one. The current one is multi-stories, and the main floor, it's not the lowest floor, the main floor, it has these giant glass panels on the floor that let light through. And you can walk on these, you know, they're pretty sturdy glass panels. Do you know what it takes to shatter one of those glass panels?
Oh, no.
A frozen turkey thrown from the 10th floor. On 1 year, and I got the backstory. The backstory was it was a bunch of 18-year-olds in a hotel room their parents paid for and left them to stay there by themselves. Parents like, we're gonna let the kids, you know, have this vacation to themselves, and the parents are like, well, we don't want them to starve. We're gonna buy them food. And I don't know the logic, but somehow the logic came, let's get a 15-pound frozen turkey. Because you know, it's a sort of thing you can just shove into the hotel microwave and cook. You went back and cooked the turkey, which honestly is probably best I did not try to cook the turkey. They thought it'd be funnier and just, you know, heave it over the balcony. And apparently when it landed, there's a bar next to it. There's an outdoor bar. This is outside of the O restaurant.
Oh, dear.
The bartender was pouring a drink, and the turkey actually came through, like, the glass on top of the bar next to him. Like, crash, bang, right next to him. The bartender just finishes pouring the drink and... But, I mean, I guess the alternative to a frozen turkey would bind the kids like a dozen cans of corn, and chucking cans of corn is also kind of frightening.
That sounds safer, though.
In what way is getting hit by a can of corn 10 stories?
Okay, if you just offer me the option of being hit by a can of corn or a 15-pound frozen turkey, I know which one I'm taking.
I'm taking the turkey,
yeah.
Because if I survive that, I will have so much fun with the insurance company. Yes.
That's right, you got hit by what? A frozen turkey is what is broken your ribs. Got it. Okay.
Sorry, that's what we call an act of God.
And you were at the bar when this happened?
After.
You just hear the click.
I want to take the turkey because if the can hits me, it's
going to
hurt like hell.
Oh my God, I so have a good story. So, back in the day, AnthroCon used to be called Albany AnthroCon, and it happened, predictably enough, in Albany.
Wow.
And it was really hard to find decent food around there. You really had to trek. But the closest we found to something vaguely edible was a Denny's. And we've always said Denny's is not a restaurant you go to, it's a restaurant you end up at. And so I wasn't thrilled, but it's like, okay, whatever. So we went, we had one experience there, and it was okay. And then we went back for another one. And the first time, I remember, I was saying to my husband, I was like, do these onion rings taste a little funky to you? And he's like, they seem strange. What do they remind you of? I said, ozone. Flavored onion ring. I don't know how else to describe it. But we went back, we had a pretty adequate meal. The nicest thing I could say, really. And then I ordered, they're like, we've got dessert. We have French silk pie. And I'm like, oh, I love silk pie. Okay. I'm sure this isn't going to be anything like what I love, but sure. Serve me a slice of your silk pie. So I'm eating the silk pie, and they're like, how is it, Andy? I'm like, it's really weird. It kind of tastes piney, like, for lack of a better term. I'm like, it tastes kind of like an evergreen. But I'm like, I'm game, I'm hungry, I'm fat, and I like dessert. So I'm making my way through it, and then I break into the crust, the back crust of the pie.
Oh, no.
I discovered why it tasted this way when I discovered the massive veins of mold. Crust of the pie like a horrible lattice work or spider web.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, you know, mold, penicillin, it's probably not going to hurt me, but I'm not thrilled about it. So I call the server over and I'm like, hi. And I point at it and she's like, oh, sorry about that. I'm like, oh, I don't blame you personally. But and she's like, yeah, let me see what I can do about that. Yeah, they comped my dessert. Nothing else. They didn't do anything else for it. They just I'm like, oh, you didn't make me pay for the moldy pie. Thanks. I actually made a vow that I have largely kept never to set foot in a Denny's again thereafter. Because, yeah, no, just no, never. Awful. There you go. That's my food horror story from a con.
So this isn't a horror story, but let me tell you something I noticed about this city, because I'm from Philadelphia, not from Boston. And I've gone now to a couple of times here. It's like I look at the dessert menu, they got their various things, but one of the things always on the menu is New York cheesecake. And I swear that is a trap where it's like if you order it, you're gonna get shivved by the wait staff. Like it just feels like something you don't order when you're in Boston.
What we were saying when we were at Legal, it was like there's Boston cream pie and a New York cheesecake, and it's like, go ahead, asshole, make a decision.
I choose one.
And it's like the pit and the pendulum, the lady and the tiger. It's like you never know when it's going to fall.
Do we want to talk about travel at all? I mean, I've got a lead, and it's not con related, but it's fursuit related, I can tell.
Those are always the worst.
When you're ready, I've got one.
Is anyone here from Indiana?
Great. Let's talk about that state.
Can we just right? say, is anyone actually from Indiana?
Does it actually exist?
I don't know.
Yeah, Indiana does exist. I've been there. I've married someone.
David Letterman.
Are you sure?
No, it
are you sure?
Yes, unfortunately, it does exist. But they have the best food I've ever had in my life. But anyway,
we're I went to Gary.
Late 2021, I was road tripping, and the primary purpose of my road trip was to drive from Philadelphia to Iowa, which is 1,000 miles, and why would I drive to Iowa? To buy a fur seat. That's important.
Wow.
And on the drive back, it's like I'm like Iowa, Illinois, I pass the state line into Indiana, and it's one of those where the expressway, it's like you gotta go right or left, you can't go straight. There's a sign over each of them. It's like, pick your destination. On the left, destination is Chicago. On the right, the destination is Ohio. Neither of those are in the state of Indiana. And just to start with, there's nothing for you in this state. Just keep moving the fuck out of here.
So for traveling, I travel so much. The only time I ever really fly is when I used to go out west, when my partner used to live out west, which was only for BLFC twice, but other than that, I've always drove every con or went to somebody's our carpool, even to MFF, which is like a 20-hour drive. So I pulled that one, like, with friends. We've been up for 24 hours doing that one. But one of the craziest drives, and if anybody has a horror story, it was us. Because I went down to a con with some friends down to Florida. We all know what con it is. It's not about the con. It's about us driving. And we went down in a renovated school bus, like big yellow... And it's just the three of us driving down, and it had like the bar, and yeah, they renovated it.
You had a bar in a school bus?
It wasn't my bus, it was like a friend's bus. They're just like,
oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, PS 411, you know, the best bar in town.
Right, they're just like, oh, hey, you want to come drive down on the bus with us? And we're just like, all right. So, yeah, when we were driving down, I think we gave White Castle, or when we were driving back up, we gave White Castle a heart attack. Because we're just like, oh, we gotta go to White Castle because we don't have White Castle. Let's do it. And it is just, so we go and we just park at this White Castle and we just see like the staff members were going like, shit, we got kids or something, like inside. And they just see three of us, just three dudes, just walk out. And we just go up and we're just like, can we get some sliders? They're just like, where's everybody else? It's like, no, it's just us. Why do you have a school bus?
What?
I don't know why you worked at White Castle. That would be the right response.
Any travel stories?
I have one. So travel. So I get to be a little bit TMI about myself here. Is that back in the 20s, which was a long time ago, I had a dalliance with a little bit of the bondage, as it were.
Ah, yes.
So I went out and I was visiting a bunch of my furry friends out in California, and I had all my stuff in a bag. And I went out, and I'm standing there waiting for my luggage to come sliding down, one single piece of gear come sliding down. And I look at it and I go, oh, my luggage strap must have come off of my suitcase. And I grab that and I'm like standing here like, awkward. And no sign of the rest of my bag. So I go up to the counter and I'm like, hi, my bag might be lost because here's something that was inside it and nothing else has shown up. And they're like, oh, give us your info. We'll find it. And can you please give us a summary of what was inside? I said, I'm going to need more than one piece of paper. I don't want to have to really explain this for sure. So I wrote out everything. And I definitely saw the person do that kind of... okay. So they brought it to me the next day. They destroyed my bag. My bag had gotten caught in the belt and ripped apart.
Oh.
That's okay. They were actually super good about it. They gave me a coupon to like go and buy a free bag at like their store or something like that, or a store they had to deal with. But they had to bring all my stuff in this big clear... Kip, definitely that's fine. I can't argue this fact. The guy was really cool verbally, but his body language was the most uncomfortable I've seen another human being. And I'm like, thanks! I don't know what to say, just give me, yeah, I'm kinky, just give me my shit and I'm out of here.
You're the reason why that guy like went back to college and finished his education.
I hope so. He's like, I never want to do this again!
Or,
I might have awakened.
You might have just awoken somebody, and they may have joined.
Yeah, you never know. I like to think that they went back and thought about it real far.
So, I got a travel story for you guys.
Cool.
So, how many of you guys have your standard clock, you know, 12 p.m., 11 p.m., etc.?
Sure.
How many of you guys use 24? How many of you guys have swapped the week before going to a convention? This was the bad idea on my part. So I'm out in Minneapolis, and I just, due to a close friend, and you can probably guess who, convinced me to swap over to 24-hour time. Yes, I know you do. And I'm like, fine. So I do this. And I was convinced that I had purchased a flight home at 6 p.m. I got a phone call from my roommate who was picking me up at the next day, or at least supposed to be, at 3 a.m. At this time, I am completely and utterly shit-faced. I mean, like, to the nines. And he's like, I think your flight's in 3 hours. What? Your flight's in 3 hours. And I just completely, like, you're kidding me right now. It's like, nope. I said, yeah, I'm leaving at 6 p.m. Oh, no, there's a zero in front of that six. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm still shocked to this day that I didn't leave luggage behind, because if you've ever tried to pack fully a suitcase after 4 shots of tequila, you deserve a break. Coffee in Minneapolis is very good, and when you've had 3 cups of it, it allows you to bake certain things.
So, on the subject of travel, has anyone up here ever accidentally attended a con?
What?
I'm thinking.
Okay, so this is again from the same trip that I took to Iowa. The trip back, Indiana was like, get the fuck out of our state. The trip out, I didn't drive 1,000 miles in one day. I had a stopover in Columbus, Ohio. Booked a hotel room. It was a Sunday night. And I roll in around 5 p.m. and I grab my suitcase and I'm walking up to the front desk. I see a guy standing out front holding a plushie.
Oh, no.
That's interesting.
Huh.
I step into the main lobby, and as soon as I step in, there's like a dozen dudes standing there just milling around, and they're wearing My Little Pony t-shirts and holding plushies. And I look up, and I see a banner, and it reads, "Welcome to TrotsCon." Accidentally attended a My Little Pony convention. I know a bunch of bronies. I'm like, I'm okay. I can make it through this. So I place my food order for delivery, drop my bags off in my room, come back, I'm waiting in the lobby, and I'm not wearing anything furry related. And some random person comes up to me and he says, "Excuse me, are you Giza?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "Fuck, also yes." Someone who knew me online. He's like, "Hey, you want to come hang with us?" So I end up unintentionally, like, I spent an evening hanging out with a bunch of bronies, and we shot the shit, and they made a bunch of jokes I didn't understand. The pony community has its own memes. Oh my god.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. I accidentally attended a con, and I swear I didn't know the con was at that hotel. And none of my friends believed me. They're like, "That was no accident."
So, actually just jogged my memory.
Awesome.
And Drac will be able to attest to this, I believe.
Oh.
Maltese Fur Con.
Yeah. Oh, so, hey, I was on staff for that for like a hot minute.
So, we were there, and I remember I was kind of vague. I didn't really have the hotel layout in my head very good. I was attending, friends with the people who started it and staffed it. And I'm like, "Oh, there's a bunch of people heading into that room." And I wasn't really paying attention. I'm just heading over. And I walk in and I'm like, there is a lot of like 40s, 50s women in this room. This is strange. It's not your typical furry crowd. There's not a dackie to be seen amongst us here. And what's going on? Came to find out we were sharing space with the Days of Our Lives. So they became very intrigued by us.
Oh, they did.
So there's a lot of photos of like these ladies like hanging out with fursuiters, getting their photos taken. And I'm like, this is the weirdest genre crossover.
That was an extremely awkward crowd.
I was in the dealer's room then, and I was with another dealer friend, and we were talking about it. We're on our phone, and we're looking at we're just like, what? They were Days of Our Lives? What? We're looking at the prices too, and we're just like, oh, ladies are paying like $1,000 just to sit in a room and talk and like just to go to a panel. It was like, this was like a bougie, like a higher up like show con.
It was very bougie, yeah.
Yeah, and my dealer friend and I were just like, we looked at each other and they're just like, get the cat stuff, put the cat stuff out. And we went out and I got my prints and we put all the cat, like put all over cat merch like out front, and lo and behold, it worked. Too, like that con kind of gave up on registration. So the Days of Our Lives people were able just to come and just hang out and buy stuff and just...
What the fuck?
That particular instance, actually, because of the Days of Our Lives con that was going on there, I was the AV coordinator for Maltese FurCon, and I just happened to be walking around in fursuit that night when some of those, and I think I would say most of the women that were involved in that were in their 60s.
Yep.
And one of them walks up to me and just kind of looks strangely and says, "Hey, what are you?" And I didn't say anything because at the time, like, I really didn't speak in fursuit. That was just a thing I didn't do. So I tried to character act out something, and she just grabs me right in the crotch and goes, "Oh, you're a boy dog!" And I'm like, I don't know how to react to this.
The weirdest dance I've ever been to at anything ever.
Was it more than one person with a balloon when you went?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
There were a lot of balloons.
It was just like, you know, you'd see all the fursuiters doing all these older women just kind of coming in and like, oh, it's so cute. And we're like, this is weird. I mean, it was nice that they liked us. It was kind of fun, but it was also super strange.
Yeah. It was the weirdest dynamic because, as I said, it was like, got all these like bougie older ladies, and then you have us, and I mean, like, A&E did a good job of like printing plastic badges. These badges are notorious for me because I helped do some art for them, and so it was, you know, putting a piece of paper in like one of those badge like slip things, that's fine. Badge clips? No. Lanyards? No. How are we gonna clip them and tie them around your neck, or tie them with you? Shoelaces.
Yep.
Plain white shoelaces. So it was just a shoelace tied with like this badge like this around your neck. So everybody just had...
You know, that's technically more expensive than a cheap lanyard, too.
Yeah, I was like, so.
They should have come to my house to start a con panel.
They really should have.
They should have. That's the problem.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes were made, but that convention...
That was the one when I cashed out and they're like, "You made double more than our charity." Because the charity ended up, something happened, and they ended up just, like, putting a bunch of plushies on a table for an auction, and that was all we saw of the charity.
I think the charity made, like, a whopping $100.
Yeah.
It was really boom.
It was like a 100-person turnout.
That reminds me.
Hey!
Speaking of charity. Speaking of charity, we'll use this part to do a collection for, we have two charities this year. We have a Lead Service Dogs and then Youth on Fire, which is for LGBTQ youth.
Yep.
So I'm going to take this bucket to the very back of the room.
Yeah.
And
come spend your money here.
Sure. Make the back of the room
off.
I'm
sorry.
Well,
I'll see the back of the room. Not the most awkward con I've ever staffed.
That card was a trick.
It was up there. It's definitely one of them. It's probably next. The second. It's top two.
I was invited to staff, and I said, "Not to
everybody."
Never.
I was going to say, I was on that staff.
I just like punishment, apparently.
as the director of programming.
So, y'all want to talk about sports teams?
No.
I mean,
I'm not a sports ball guy.
Actually, I got a story that just kind of jogged my memory of like an awkward combo of conventions. I also used to attend fetish conventions.
Sure.
And there just happened to be a high school cheerleader competition at this hotel at the same time as a fetish convention.
How did the hotel sales staff think this was a good idea?
I don't think they were communicating at all.
Right? There must have been a mix-up.
There's a little bit of a communication problem. Yeah, it was really entertaining. You see all these guys like doing backflips all over the place as they're getting warmed up, and then you see someone else in a full-blown rope harness, you know, just being kind of trotted along, and like, someone did not plan this thing.
Right. One of these things is
that's happened twice before, actually.
What?
One year, I went out to California to go to FurCon.
Oh, thank God.
And we shared the convention center with a cheerleading competition. But it wasn't the cheerleaders that were the problem, it was all of the parents.
Yeah.
Because all of these cheerleaders were very interested in the FurCon, and the parents came out like Karens. It was terrible.
Wow. I have been waiting to get accepted to FC again, because at a thrift store I found the perfect shirt, because I think they have a volleyball team now there,
yeah,
right?
Volleyball.
Yeah, and so I found this one shirt we're going through, and it's just this bright teal shirt, like tank top, with like these pink accents, and it just is screen printed in glitter, and it just has a hand going down on a volleyball, and it just says Ball Smackers. And I've been saving that for FC for like 3 years.
That is a sports ball story I can get
by. Right.
And the reason I brought sports teams is because I know Boston's a bit of a sports city. And
really?
I figure if there's
so I hear.
If there's a city where I'm going to talk shit about the New York Yankees, it should be here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's basically the state pastime, so please feel free.
So I beef with the New York Yankees because they fucked with us at AfroCon 1 year. The 1 year is like late 2000s. There was, you know, AfroCon's around July 4th. There was a baseball game there. That night, it was Pittsburgh Pirates versus New York Yankees. Of all the hotels in the city, where did the Yankees decide they wanted to stay?
Oh no.
Yep, the Westin. So we had this request from the hotel. Apparently the Yankees were so spooked by us, they wanted us to clear the entire fucking lobby for like an hour, just so that they had a window in which they could have their stupid little tour bus pull up. And I was there for this, I was watching a bunch of ball players walking to 25 feet to the elevators in an empty lobby because furries bothered the New York Yankees that bad.
We all know some days didn't want somebody to be like, Jeter, what's your persona?
He's definitely like a lion, if you know what I'm saying. And unfortunately, I gotta head out.
Thank you for coming, Hobbs.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys. Oh, you're awesome. Awesome.
Throw more money in the charity bucket, we'll stay longer.
careful. Someone might drop an air right in there.
I said longer.
It's like a hotline dollar a minute.
Let's see, talk about like sports teams, talk about travel. I've got a fucked up cop story.
Excuse me?
You want to
pass around the
fucking
fish?
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
it
was
going to
be
fun. Yeah, I got one that works.
Yeah, start talking, go for it.
Because it was back with the panel one. I used to do, and I was going to do a panel, but COVID regulations and stuff, and I was like, all right, I got to be a little careful with it. I do a lot of, like, retro commercial viewing panels, or I did a lot with my friend Rexy Cat in the past, and one of the ones we did at a con was infomercials. So we had an infomercial viewing panel, so it was like an hour of just the stupidest infomercials you could see that, like, it was like the stuff where it's like, oh, like, are you golfing with your guy friends and you need to take a piss? Here's the golf club where you, like, line it up and pee. and then we had the ad for the titty bear where it was like, oh, it's a bear thing that holds your seatbelt so it doesn't, like, go on your neck.
Sure.
And it got, we had to actually tell people to stop calling the numbers that showed up. Because we had people that were like, I got through. They still make it. I ordered a teddy bear. And we're like, stop ordering. Stop.
So my miscellaneous round story is another of my dinner stories. Not the plot one, though. That's really Steve's story. I love that story so much. But so when we first did circles, we went to a lot of furry cons, and Steve, Scott, and I would basically sit at one. We would get two tables. The Rabbit Valley guys would sit over here, Andy and Sean, and whoever they had hired at that time, and they would sell their books, including circles. And then we sat right next to them. We weren't selling anything, but people would bring over stuff. They'd talk to us about the comic. They'd get us to sign books. Great. Super fun. But there, I mentioned there's terminology that we developed from those years that we use to this day, is that if you're working a con table and you see a friend, but they can't get to you because someone is just in your face and will not stop talking to you, like I love to talk to people. I really do. And people who see me at this con hopefully see that I will sit there and talk to you about whatever you want for a good chunk of time. But sometimes it hits a point where you're not talking. They're not talking to you anymore, they're talking at you.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, yep, good, cool. There's a line of people behind your guy, but you don't want to say that, you know? And we started referring to that as being eclipsed. That if you couldn't get to us, I'm sorry, someone was eclipsing you, and I apologize for that. But there was this one time someone did that, and I kind of shut him down really hard, and I feel a little bit bad about that now, but not very. He came up and was like, so your comic is basically about these six guys living in a house together, huh? And I was like, yep. I said, you know, it's this story about found family and how, you know, people develop these relationships and, you know, especially in the gay community, like some people don't have their birth families, so they've kind of adopted each other. And he was like, oh, that's very interesting. I wonder how they would react to my character moving in next door to them. And I apologize for this term. I don't like it. Like, she is a hermaphroditic vixen who's into bondage, and she has this harem of slaves that blah, blah, blah. And I'm listening, and I'm nodding slowly. And he made the mistake of taking a breath. Because that opened my window. And I said, well, you know what? Our comic kind of takes place in real life. And he went, oh, and walked away. I was like, well, that's all it took. Sorry, join us on planet Earth. We'll talk.
Getting eclipsed is the best. It's like the story of I'm more quiet. I'm like, okay. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, they're like, excuse me. Hi, person behind you, you need help, and they'll be like still getting eclipsed, and they'll be like, it's like the eclipses start coming up further and further. And I'm like, no!
So I've often described, I really want like just a big foam boxing glove on an extender thing, like the Joker. And just, like, not hurtful, just one that just goes like, boom. Like just enough to make you go, oh, maybe I should walk away from this.
Oh, man.
And I never want to hurt anybody, I don't want even hurt feelings, but sometimes it's just like, folks, please. Yeah, it's like, I understand that there's literally 20 people waiting to get their book signed, and I am more than excited to talk to you about anything, but could you move to the side and just let me go, please, let me take this guy and sign his book so I can get him off on what he wants to do, so.
Yeah, with the whole, like, eclipsing thing and all that stuff, that kind of reminded me of a story that my friend Chad was like, you have to tell the story. You have to tell about Dank Donuts. And I'm like, all right, I'll say Dank Donuts. So we were down at this one con, and at the time it was New Jersey, and we were wondering what to do for breakfast because we're not from the area. We're just looking, and then my friend Chad stops, and he's looking at this thing, and he starts laughing, and I'm like, what? And he pulls up the Yelp review, and it's like a super professional realtor. And it just says, Dank Donuts, in all caps and blood. We have to go. And we got the donuts, came back, and we had like two dozen of these like freshly baked, like, it was like a Subway for donuts. They like, they did the whole like, cook them and bake them fat, you did your old toppings, all that. We started eating the donuts in the lobby. This was like 7:30 in the morning. And we, some guy just comes up and he's just like, "Hi, how are you?" So we're just like, "Okay, cool." And then he's just like, "So you're playing Pokemon Go?" Because this was 2016. We're like, "Yeah." And then they're just like, "So this company is making Pokemon Go toys. And I have a pin, like sex toys, and I have opinions." Whoa. And my friend, Travis, is eating his donut, just goes with his chair, because he's sitting like this with me, just goes with the, takes another donut, and just turns away, and just starts like eating. And the kid's just describing, like, they're just like, "Oh, so like, I am not happy because Moltres has like a horse shape, and I don't think that's canonically correct." And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "I didn't even take a bite of my breakfast."
Boxing glove.
Right. Just Chaz on just silently like.
That's great.
Right.
So something I miss about cons nowadays we need telegram. Back in the 2000s, it was radios. Like, people would have VHF radios, and cons would rent dozens and dozens of radios to different parties and talk to each other. And I'd be sitting in ops, and I'd be listening to all the radio calls, just fucked up shit, just going over the airwaves. The one year I was staffing MAGFest, which is a video game convention in Washington, D.C., and it's full of young people who like to drink a lot. What could possibly go wrong? One day I walked into Ops and we had up on the whiteboard, if anyone's ever played GTA and you know you got like 1 to 6 stars, we had like 6 stars drawn up on there and 4 of them were filled in. And the reason for that was there was a radio call earlier where someone says, "The cops are here," followed by, "They have riot shields and shotguns." Which someone else replied, "That's an improvement over last year."
I don't know why. I just got reminded about the con where it wasn't a con attendee. It was, let's just say the con's no longer around. Somebody got stabbed in the lobby, apparently.
Oh, I know that con. Yeah,
I was hanging out with my friend at the time, and I went down and we were dealing for this con. It was the only con I ever left on a Saturday and been like, I'm not working here anymore, ever. And this was the day it happened. That morning, they came up and they were like so shook up at 5 in the morning. I'm like, "What's wrong?" And they're like, "There's blood all over the floor." And I'm like, "What happened?" And apparently somebody got into a fight downstairs at that lobby at the con, and we're just like, "What?"
Like, so I was on staff for that particular convention. Oh, and first of all, this convention started up and decided that they were going to host their convention at a Comfort Inn. Who has ever heard of a FurCon being held at a Comfort Inn?
That sounds really comfortable.
To add a step to this, though, it was advertised as having a water park.
I blacked that out of my memory.
Yeah.
It was like one of those.
It was, actually.
I was going to ask, is the water park like a drainage ditch out back?
It basically was. So we show up to this building, right? In Springfield. No less. Springfield, Mass.
Oh,
half the building, the rear half of the building is condemned and like crumbling into the ground. The front half is the hotel with the water park, which ended up being basically a pool with a slide that they charged $25
for. That was like a concrete
per ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, is it $25 per ride?
It's a flat rate.
But slide.
That morning, apparently, this happens there all the time. The particular stabbing that occurred was some homeless person that was off his rocker, comes into the hotel constantly asking for money, and they usually shoo him off pretty easily. But another person who was apparently sleeping in the broken down portion of the building in the back that the hotel didn't know about, didn't like this guy for living in his territory. So a fight broke out, and it got pretty ugly.
The Spear of Springfield, Massachusetts.
But it became known affectionately after that point as First Stabicon.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, IndieCon. you could have said, you could have just said Springfield, Massachusetts. It might be something would have been understood. That the rest of the building was falling down.
Everyone's like, basically, you stay in town, everybody's like, oh. Collect them all.
We actually had to put a clause in the convention attendance that you had to sign a waiver that you weren't going to go into the back end of the hotel.
Wow.
I think we should wrap it up with a segment about favorite topic of mine, at least, drunk people.
I'm ready.
Drunk D&D?
Was that
drunk D&D?
No. So this is actually also sort of a Springfield story. This was not con related, but it is a horror story nonetheless of my friends and I who are sort of a roving furry con on our own. So we are, my husband Steve is Polish, and we are constantly questing for Polish restaurants, and they can be hard to find, very hard to find in fact. And actually, I take it back, sorry, it was not Springfield, it was Worcester. If you know Worcester, it's really not, I'm not improving the story by changing it. I love Worcester, and I have a love-hate relationship with Worcester, but this guy had been doing a kielbasa food truck, and very successfully, and he was known like Mr. Kielbasa, which was funny to begin with, but then he opened a brick and mortar where he just did Polish food in general. It's called Polka. His name was Teddy, and we got to know Teddy really well over the several times we actually got to go to his restaurant, but I feel like the flavor was done the first time. First off, the food was great. Like, he would serve it. It was like being served. You walked in, it was like his living room, and he was basically like serving you food in his living room out of like this fantastic restaurant-grade kitchen that was there. And he was very funny, and he would come out. But the first time we were there, we're sitting there. And we're talking to each other, and we put our order in, and Teddy was cooking. And this guy walks in and kind of stumbling and walks up to the takeout counter and starts speaking in Polish to Teddy. And Steve speaks a little bit of Polish. He's like, no, this guy's talking way too fast. I can't figure out what he's talking about. And Teddy comes out and kind of puts his arm around the guy and walks the guy out, talking to him in Polish. I'm like, okay, maybe it's a friend of his or something. Then he goes back and starts cooking again. All of a sudden, the guy flings the door back open, goes in, and just is like, "Hey, like angrily shouting in Polish." Teddy just standing there, comes out. The guy runs. Teddy gets to the door, picks up a baseball bat we had not noticed before, and pursues. I think our chef is baseball bat murdering him right now. So Teddy comes back in and smiles at us and goes, "You don't end the show, huh?" Puts the bat back down and goes back. And finally he explained to us, the place used to be a bar. And this guy just refuses to get through his head that it's not a bar anymore. So he keeps coming in trying to get Teddy to like serve him drinks. And Teddy's like, "No, my friend, remember, we're not a bar anymore." And he would take us out, take the guy out gently, but then the guy would get abusive, and he would literally have to chase the guy out with a baseball bat. And then he wouldn't see him for a few weeks, then the guy would show up again. Well, the last thing to end that just quickly is, Teddy would do this thing where he'd be like, okay, let's see. And he would come over and he'd start adding up the bill. And he seems to be writing, like, a long time, and, like, thinking and doing math in his head and writing things down. And then he would turn around and would say, like, $20 a person. Like, literally, all he has written that entire time was $20 a person and circled it. And then he'd be like, "Is that okay?" And he'd be like, "Teddy, you just served us, like, five courses. Take 30. Yeah, he was a great guy. And he's back to just his food truck. He was like, "That was too much of a pain in the ass." I blame the dude with the baseball bat.
Trying to think of the best one.
I can tell one.
Go for it, Ryan.
What do you got?
Because the spoiler of this is, it is me. I was the horror back in the day. We all been a horror here and there. And it was an accidental horror. It was at a con, and I was after the dealer's room. And I was walking around, I'm like, all right, I'm going to meet up with some friends, see what's up. And I see a little flyer for a wine and cheese party. And I'm like, ooh, That sounds nice. That sounds nice and quaint. I will go try that out. And I went, and of course, more of my friends were there, and I was like a couple feet down the room from my actual hotel room. And it was like my boss from another convention that I worked for there, too. And instead of wine, it was just this giant pitcher of sangria, like the biggest thing. And it was like Trader Joe's cheese all cut up and stuff into squares. And we're all just...
I'm down.
And then people were passing around like bacon vodka.
Ooh.
And one person who was a very well-known... well-known person, I'm not going to say their name, took a giant swig of it and then just went, put it right into the the trash can after.
Oh dear.
And then the fire alarm went off, and we're all looking at each other.
It's getting more and more random.
Right? And it's a wild one, yeah. And as soon as, like, the fire alarm goes off, everybody stops, or you stop eating our, like, left-out cheese and our, like, sangria, and people are like, quick, get the sangria! And then you see like three people pick this thing up and they're like running down the stairs. And then we're still drinking like downstairs outside. And then we go back upstairs after, and then my con boss was pouring me his wine, just giving me wine, and I was talking. And then all of a sudden it hit, and I'm like, I'm gonna go to my room. And I just booked it to my room, and all I remember was just, apparently I was getting really sick and I had food that night, and all of my friends were just like, yeah, you were just like, wow, corn, guys. I fell asleep on the toilet like that. And then I used to be the one that like babysat one of my friends, and my friend was the one who put me to bed that night. But everybody's like, hey, Lions, corn. I'm like, yeah.
Wow. I was about to say, you might need edibles, but then, like, you just kind of went off track at the corn part.
Sure.
Jack, you got a story about a drunk person? Like, from a
city? Yeah, I actually do have a story about a drunk person. And again, this is Rainforest. That hotel and that convention was known for its massive attendance of drunk persons. And the ability to drink massive quantities of alcohol in certain wings of the hotel. Now, if anybody hadn't been there before, the hotel and the convention center were separated by a parking lot with a parking garage. So, this group of people shows up, they're attendees to the con, they come into the parking garage, some of us are standing outside. The parking garage has multiple floors, there's a staircase on one side and a ramp to get out one end. The car had apparently gone up the ramp and parked on what would be the second floor. And we hear this ruckus go on from inside the parking lot. Obviously, the driver probably wasn't drunk, but I don't know. But the passengers in the vehicle were plastered, and they were coming to try to go to the rave, as drunk as they possibly could have been. So you hear, I'm going to the party! And this guy tumbles from the second floor of the parking garage right into the bushes, stands back up like nothing happened, and walks into the convention center.
Oh my God. That man was there to party.
And we're all looking dumbfounded, like, what just happened? And the rest of his friends, as drunk as they were falling over themselves, trying to chase after this guy to see if he's okay.
All right, let me wrap this up with one of my favorite drunk stories. A few years ago at EmperorCon, we had an attendee who was pretty smashed. And he was in the lobby of the Westin, and he was staying at another hotel, and like he could not make it to his room under his own power. And security was tending to him, and there was a cop on hand. And you know, they're just like, why don't you call one of your roommates? You're rooming with people. Why don't you call one of them and get them to help you back to your hotel room? So drunk guy, you know, pulls out his phone and goes through his contacts and places the call. And by this point, he's too drunk to speak. So he just hands his phone to the cop and just, you know, let him do the cop talking. Drunk guy thought he dialed one of his roommates. Drunk guy actually dialed his mom. Oh, no. So his mom gets his call from a cop. Yeah, I'm here with your son. He's really drunk. He's at a furry convention. You know what a furry convention is, man? And I
I don't know how the rest of this person's night went, but I bet I know how the following morning went for them. So for our charities, we raised $251.
Yeah.
And oh. Cents. Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming to Convention Horror Stories. These are your panelists, Andrew from Circles, Drac, Nightlines, and myself, Giza. Thank you all so much for coming.